In this corner, the scrappy contender. His strongest punch is a blow to his opponent's appetite for power and profit. And in the other corner, the towering heavyweight champion who wants to pound the contender's prices to the mat. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. As the Amazon Hachette ebook pricing fight goes round after round, the ringside reporter we turn to every Friday is Andrew Albany, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, who joins me now from his Manhattan office. And welcome back, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, it's good to have you back, and it is yet another round in this amazing story, the Amazon Hachette PR war, as you call it, which, to use a PR term, may be spinning out of control. So what's been going on?
Yeah, you got that right. And, you know, it's been an especially eventful week, and I expect the spinning will continue in the coming week. And you can read all about the fight on the PW website, where just this week we posted a great short interview with Hugh Howe, the popular author of Wool and an unabashed Amazon supporter. So, you know, as you know, that interview follows Amazon's rebuttal late last week to the Authors United letter, a site that Amazon has dubbed Readers United. In a response to the Douglas Preston-led effort in which 900-plus authors asked Amazon to tone down its tactics while supposedly not taking sides, Amazon's latest salvo is pretty notable, and for a few reasons. You know, first, the Readers United site, Amazon site, and the media coverage of its email once again allowed Amazon to deliver its PR message. And that message is, as we've discussed before, that ebook prices are too high and that the major publishers are concluding major corporate conglomerates. Now, the New York Times was quick to point out in an article that Amazon's message on Readers United was horribly botched in at least one way. That, you know, Amazon made reference to George Orwell supposedly opposing the advent of cheap paperback books, and that Orwell supposedly suggested that publishers collude to suppress paperback books. That, of course, is not exactly accurate, and it provided some great fodder for a day. In addition, Michael Peach, the CEO of Hachette, also weighed in on Readers United, and chief among his points was that the paperback worked because they did not intend to replace hardbacks. In fact, paperbacks are windowed. That is, they usually come out a year after the hardback. And so, you know, suddenly here we were off on a tangent away from ebooks, and everybody's sort of discussing paperback books and their history. Ultimately, Peach said that the dispute was because Amazon was seeking a lot more profit and more market share. And, you know, long story short, on it goes. Hachette is a colluding price gouger, and Amazon is a greedy devil seeking to stomp out bookstores.
Well, indeed. And, you know, I have to agree with you. I thought that that sort of sidebar discussion, which went on for far too long about the history of paperbacks, was getting nobody anywhere. But in any case, with this PR narrative, you know, moving day by day, sort of slogging its way through all of this, where do we stand exactly?
Well, I think it leaves things pretty much where they've been from the beginning, which is on the negotiating table. You know, we've been having a discussion here in the office at PW about who may or may not be winning the PR battle. But I still think that to suggest that either party is scoring points is to falsely equate this messaging campaign, which is going on both sides, to a real serious debate about the future of reading and publishing in the digital age. And as I've said before, this is ultimately going to be settled in a boardroom and not in the court of public opinion.
Well, that's a really great point as well. You want to move beyond the public relations aspect of it and get us to a sort of reality-based discussion. So in all of that, though, there is this PR war, and you've been keeping a scorecard as the contender. I'm thinking of Michael Peach and the champ there, Jeff Bezos, slug it out. So what do you have on your scorecard?
Well, right now, I think, you know, if we're talking about them as fighters, that the fighters are mostly dancing around the ring a little bit here. But I think that strategy actually benefits Amazon more than Hachette, because to torture the metaphor a little further, Amazon has the belt right now. It's the undisputed heavyweight champion. You know, Hachette represents a tiny amount of Amazon's $70 billion revenue, while Amazon represents, you know, a third, possibly more, of Hachette's revenue. So even if Hachette is able to land a jab or two, I don't think it has the punching power to ultimately win the fight.
So if you're saying that Michael Peach is, even if you give him the benefit of the doubt and he's punching above his weight, Jeff Bezos still doesn't feel it, right?
Well, you know, they may be landing a few jabs here, but I think you're right. Nothing is really hurting Amazon. And I think this is there's a critical point in all of that, too. It's because, really, the publishers don't want to hurt Amazon. You know, let me put it this way. This dispute is almost certainly going to end with a deal. And, you know, by the way, as public as this PR battle is right now, when that deal is struck, I assure you the terms are going to be confidential. But my point is this. At some point, the publishers and Amazon, you know, they're in business together. And if that business is going to work, then the publishers and the customers of these publishers are going to need to see Amazon as viable. So as much as the publishers want to weigh in and win the negotiation, they can't scorch the earth here. They can't tell their customers that Amazon is evil and bad and then months later say, hey, we're all good now. Go ahead and buy our books on Amazon, which is why their PR position has been really pretty soft and frankly disappointing. And it's why authors like Douglas Preston are saying, shame on Amazon, but we're not really taking sides. And it's why the most Michael Peach can muster is that Amazon wants more profit and market share. Well, who doesn't? That's business, right? You know, if that's wrong, then it must be equally wrong when the major publishing conglomerates are out there gobbling up other houses and folding competitors into imprints. You know, I have to admit, it was really fun to see how badly Amazon botched its Orwell reference at Readers United. But at the same time, Peach's response to the paperback question was equally disingenuous because in his letter, he claimed that paperbacks worked because they weren't intended to replace the hardcover. But obviously, in many, many cases today, the paperback has replaced the hardcover. But I think even more to the point, the ebook most certainly is intended to replace the print book, whether that's hardcover or paperback.
Well, you know, you're telling me then that this is not about prices, but about the future of the business. And if indeed that prediction should come true, that we've got ebooks replacing print books, the business is transformed utterly. So what is this all about then? And how do you see this as a potentially, as an opportunity for publishers?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the PR battle is about ebooks right now, but it definitely is about the future of publishing, the future of print, too. After all, when a reader buys a Kindle or any other digital reading device, chances are their reading is increasingly going to be digital. They bought the device for a reason. They want to read digitally. Now, not entirely digitally, but for the most part, that's the way their behavior is likely to shift. And as testimony in Apple's trial clearly demonstrated, the main reason the publishers wanted higher ebook prices was to prop up their print business so they could at least better manage their print sales, which, although declining, still represent their main revenue source with their growing ebook sales. And then there's Amazon. So sure, they sell a lot of print books, but they are heavily invested in the ebook market, a market that they pretty much invented with the Kindle. Clearly, Amazon views the future of reading and publishing as digital, and they don't want the extra weight of print slowing down their race to the future with their ebook business. And I think their point to consumers on this score is pretty strong. And that's that, you know, if you only want to read ebooks, you know, those old fogey print houses shouldn't be forcing you to subsidize their print businesses through higher prices. But I think this is where the debate, as it has emerged in the wake of this PR battle, has gone off the rails a little bit. You know, last week, industry pundit Mike Schatzkin wrote a pretty lengthy post that garnered a lot of comments in which he concluded that, you know, Amazon as a single retailer has so much power that, you know, this is an imbalance in the value chain that's unprecedented in the history of publishing. And I would agree with him that there's an imbalance in, you know, the publishing industry right now. But the problem with that is that Amazon is not just a retailer, but it's a platform. Amazon doesn't just sell the publisher stuff. They're invested very heavily in this new market for reading, a market that the publishing industry, for the most part, was content to outsource. The publishing industry, for the most part, outsourced all of its innovation to Amazon and other players. And I think it's true that Amazon holds tremendous power, but that's not necessarily because of unfair exploitation. But I think because it took the risk and invested in creating a platform in a market that the publishers, by their own admission, ignored for far too long. Now, that's not to say that there isn't a dangerous imbalance here, but I would argue that the solution to that imbalance is not going to come from a terms battle, whether it's a price dispute, whether it's this battle at all. But we're going to have a much deeper discussion about the digital future.
Well, indeed. And what I enjoy about chatting with you, Andrew, is that you really are trying to push it to its limit there and to get at what this discussion ought to be about. You've hinted at that before in other of our discussions. And you sound as if there could be a real debate that's just about to open up. But what would it be like? And is there something the publishers could be doing that would be more effective than jabbing at Amazon?
Yeah, I think to some degree, and I'll use a metaphor from a business more messed up than publishing, and that's politics, because it's become really fashionable in political campaigns over the last decade to attack your opponent's strength. And Amazon's strength, of course, is its platform and its customer experience. Now, yes, price matters, but it's not the whole game in publishing. So if I were a publisher, I'd consider pivoting away from price and the terms dispute to the customer experience, which is, of course, Amazon's strength here. For example, I might make some hay out of Amazon's proprietary format. You know, the Kindle is a closed ecosystem, which means you can't really dump Amazon without dumping your ebook library too. And as long as that's the case, price issues or not, it's going to be hard to have a major competitor to Amazon in the ebook field. So if I was Hachette, I might point out, for example, that if Amazon is so pro-consumer and so pro-competitive, why are they locking you into their device? If you want to switch to a better platform, you can't do that without dumping your Kindle library. And why can't you buy ebooks from your local store on your Kindle? How is that customer friendly? And why should your device choice basically link you to one provider? And if I want to read a book from my public library on my Kindle, why do I have to go through Amazon? Why can't I just go through the library or through Overdrive, one of the providers there? If I was a publisher, maybe I'd weigh in on Chris Kubica's effort to redesign the perfect ebook store, which we spoke about last week on the show and which listeners can read about on the PW site. That effort by its very existence focuses on the deficiencies of Amazon. But hey, let's talk about Zola Books. They have some interesting ideas, though I don't think that they're yet able to license from the major publishers. But I'm dead serious. There's ways to do this. And I think one of the ways you do this is by putting on the table that in order to sell our ebooks, Amazon has to use a standard platform. The bottom line, what does a publisher have to lose by insisting that customers be able to access their ebooks and buy them from any store they wish, regardless of the device or platform they choose? I mean, that's the way it works in the print world. And, publishers have every incentive, I think, for making their books as widely and easily available as possible in the digital world. Now, Amazon, of course, would say no way. They have Mobi. That's what they developed. That's what they want. But even if they say no, doesn't this at least allow the publishers to shift away from their supposedly anti-market practices to put the spotlight on Amazon's data-grabbing, market-restricting practices? And I'm not saying that this has to be a deal-breaker for the publishers. I'm saying just put it on the table. Make it part of the debate. I was just looking back through some old issues, and in 2012, Cory Doctorow made exactly this point in a PW column called A Whip to Beat Us With, in which he discussed the great leverage a retailer gains when it can lock consumers into its platform. It's one thing for a company of Amazon's size to be able to underprice its competitors and to squeeze its suppliers like Walmart does. But imagine how much worse that would be if you could only cook food from the Walmart butcher on your Walmart grill. So I think my point is that price is only one facet of the ebook future that's unfolding here. Maybe this is an opportunity for the publishers to reframe the ebook future, the ebook debate. Maybe this is a chance to expand the discussion to what real competition might look like in the ebook market instead of these little band-aids that we've been after. And maybe it's a way for publishers to truly win consumers' hearts and minds and to sort of, take the market back from Amazon.
Well, Andrew, I really enjoy hearing your optimism, but as an Irishman, I have to tell you, I have to wonder if it's all just a little too late for any of this.
The optimism of the Irish. I love it.
That's right. It's either raining or it's going to rain. That's how it works. Andrew Albany, senior writer of Publishers Weekly, thanks so much for joining us on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.